we are going to go to Psalm 67. So if you have your Bibles, you can go there. We're going to start a new series today on Psalms. So the book of Psalms, we're entering into that time of year where Thanksgiving is coming up. So we're going to be speaking about like Psalms of Thanksgiving and gratitude. And so we're going to start in Psalm 67 today. It's a really, really awesome, awesome psalm. So Psalms is an interesting book of the Bible. Is anybody reading the Psalms right now just in their personal devotions? Is that happening for anybody? Okay, look at that. Okay, so on a lot of Bible reading plans, they don't let you escape Psalms, right? There's like, it's tucked away in the middle, but it is a book that I go to often, and you get everything in the Psalms, right? You get sorrow, you get joy, you get poetry, you get songs, you get just straight up anger, right, from the psalmist as they're crying out. You know, God, break the teeth of my enemies. I mean, I haven't heard that recently in a worship song that we've sung. But I mean, there's so much there. But one of my struggles this week as I've been preparing for the Psalms is, first of all, you read poetry differently than you read narrative, right? You read poetry differently than you read history. And so as we're reading through Psalms, we don't want to fly through Psalms, right? You want to pause. You want to take some time to hear it. And I'm not much of a poet. I love to write. I love to read, but I don't, poetry is not like a genre that I camp out in. So it is, I will just admit right up front that it is a bit of a challenge, for me to preach on Psalms, quite honestly, because it's not a type of literature that resonates within me. But I do think what I felt like as I was preparing that the Lord was asking me to try to help us do is to connect at a deeper level. I talked about last week about the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God inspiring all of our senses, right? Touching and seeing and hearing. And there's a part of that within poetry where there's something that we're awakened, right? That we're awakened to something. Like our soul is our innermost being is connecting with the message, right? And man, I know that's a big prayer. That is really my prayer for this morning, is that the deep, deep parts of our soul would connect with God through this psalm. And so I do not have for you a poem to start or end the message today, but we have a poem, but we do have some a song here that we don't really have an author on. But is a song to the Lord. So we're just going to go, what we're going to do is we're just going to go verse by verse, and I'll pause and we'll kind of take some detours and then come back. All right, if that's cool. All right, everybody say hello. All right, I just really need you guys. Sometimes I just forget that you guys are there. You're so quiet sometimes. So please, position in ministry was I was the only white guy in an African American church, so I'm missing those days for sure. there we go. Okay. May God be gracious to us and bless us. May he make his face shine upon us. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. All right, let's not move too quickly. All right, God. All right, who is God? I'm glad you asked. God is the breath of life, right? He is the creator, God. He is the sustainer. He is the one who gave some guidelines, right? Don't touch this tree. And even in our sin, he is the God who covered shame and nakedness with the tree leaves, right? He is a God who destroyed the earth because of evil with water. He's a righteous one, right? He is a God who made this opening in the Red Sea, and he's a God of the Exodus, right? He's a deliverer, right? He is a God who raised up, you know, people like David and the temple of praise. So he is the God that is worshiped, right? He's the God who's adored. He's a God who's cherished and loved. He's the God of the prophets, right? He's the voice. You know, it is his voice that was calling out in the wilderness, Right? Turn away, turn away, turn back to God. He's a God who raised up people in the minor prophets like Amos. Right? He raises up to be a voice of to care for the oppressed and to defend the cause of the widow. Right? He's a God who sends his son, Jesus, right? And he saves us. That's the God that we're talking about. So when we're saying, God bless us, make your face shine upon us, I think we just breeze over that. Oh, God, yeah, God. This is robust. This is huge in terms of who we're talking about. He's our deliverer, our savior, our Lord, our King. Right? He's the God, Holy Spirit, right? Who comforts, who empowers, who just poured out his spirit so mightily in the days of the early church. He's a God of miracles. He's a God who will gather the nations around the throne, worshiping face to face. Praise and glory, wisdom and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. So when we're talking about God blessing us, that's who we're talking about. Oh, God, I pray that you would bless me. We're so cavalier sometimes. But let's back up a little bit, right? This is the God that we're asking, the Trinity God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. May God that you would bless us in your grace. So this is unmerited. This is unearned blessing, right? I pray that you would bless us. And then if you would just touch your face, you don't have to slap your face. I'll believe that you're touching it. Okay. Touch your face. Make your face, oh God. And then if you would just look up at the lights, we don't have a whole lot of shiny stuff. But look up at the lights. Make your face, oh God, shine upon me. This is the God of light. The God of light. And so when we're calling out to God, we're saying, God, would you bless me? Would you make your face, this God who is pleased with us, this God who delights in us? That's crazy talk. To think of this God that I just described delights in us. God, make your face shine upon me. So as we go in, that's who we're talking about, God. And then this blessing, right? This blessing is for a purpose. It says this in verse 2, actually, if you will go down. Yeah, so why are you blessing us? So that, I like that phrase, so that your ways may be shown on earth. Your salvation to all nations. Blessing, 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 blessing. This God, this awesome God, awesome God, awesome God, blessing so that your ways would be known on the earth. The ways of the kingdom. We talk a lot about that in the Vineyard. You know, we read this psalm through the lens of the kingdom, through the lens of the cross, because it happened, right? And so this, the ways of the kingdom, right, where God has been made known, you know, his righteousness are his ways, right? The ways of his kingdom, where his salvation happens, and what is down is up and what is up is down. I mean, there's so many wonderful things as we read through the gospel about his ways, the ways that God works. He takes, you know, people like Ruth and Naomi and Esther. We think about some of the forgotten people of the world, and God uses that. We see this in Corinthians, talking about that God confounds the wise, right? By shattering the wisdom of this world, right? So his ways would be known on earth. So God bless us so that your ways of righteousness, your ways of salvation, your ways of goodness and gladness, your ways of discipline would be known on the earth, and your salvation would be known to all nations. Your salvation. I get the picture of the triumphal entry. Remember Jesus riding on the donkey. We sing lots of songs over the years about Hosanna, Hosanna, right? That word Hosanna means God saves, right? God saves. And though most people probably, likely, did not realize what they were crying out at that time, this is salvation. Save us, O God. It's a beckoning. It's a yearning cry. So as we sing this song, God bless us, God bless us, God bless us, so that your blessing, right, would be salvation for all nations. Right? If you can envision Abraham, Right? There's so much here. But envision Abraham. You know, he's going out and he hasn't had any children. Right? And remember, I think there's Genesis 11, right? That God tells him to look up at the stars of the sky. Right? He says, I know you don't have kids. I know you don't even have one son. But your descendants are going to be like that. You know, he's looking up and he sees all these stars. I want you to get that picture in your mind, and we're going to move to verse 3. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. All right, so we have this picture, right, of Abraham and there's many, many, many nations, okay? And so we have the word, oftentimes in the Old Testament, people, singular, sort of. It's kind of a weird word in English. But people, meaning Israel. But here we have an S on the end of the word people. So peoples, we don't usually use it that way. Them's good peoples, we say, but that's not really exactly correct, right? So it does make it into our vocabulary, sort of. But these peoples is meaning nations, right? Nations here. So may all the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. So this salvation, right, this blessing, I mean, we just sat back and bless us, Lord. It's for the purpose of blessing the nations. It's undeniable throughout Scripture from cover to cover, over and over and over again, the nations, the peoples. It's all over. I mean, I give you a challenge. Try to find, there's hardly any books in the entire canon of Scripture that don't mention the nations and the peoples. And this is our calling, right, of worship. You know, that all the peoples of the earth would with gladness would sing for joy. And so if we could zoom out again, sort of a pictorial thing that we'll do here. But this scripture has largely, or at least partially, I won't say largely, but has partially come to fulfillment. If you think about the way that God's ways and the way that God's salvation has gone out literally from Israel to the ends of the earth. It is an amazing, amazing testimony. I think sometimes American believers like to start with America as if the gospel has gone out from America to the ends of the earth. It has gone out from here, but it did not start here. Right? It started in Israel. Right? And it went out to all of these other nations. We kind of came in a little late, if you study history. Right? And so we're just part of this grafting in, right, that God, that Jesus talks about. And so this has happened. It's been going out. But now as we zoom out, you know, in year 2022, you know, earlier today, like America's day started really early over in Guam. they're about 15. I want to say they're 15 hours ahead. They're many, many. I used to live near that area. But Guam, the Mariana Islands, the Micronesia, there are many, many believers who they're singing out for joy. Their salvation has come to the islands. There are places, smaller churches, but in places like Thailand, in places like Japan, in places like Vietnam, smaller representations, but there are people singing this song of joy, people whose lives have been changed by the Lord. There's places in China where people are meeting in secret and they're making huge sacrifices because salvation has come to their house, right? Because the Lord has visited them in miraculous ways. There are places in South Asia, places like Nepal and India, where there are huge, huge churches in these countries. And there are small churches in these countries. And these people are crying out to the Lord, God, you are our salvation, our song. It continues on throughout Europe and many, many, many nations throughout Europe, people who have made sacrifices and they are worshiping the Lord, continuing on down to Australia where Karen is. They just worship together today, continuing on to just huge, huge movements of the Lord throughout Africa. There's churches in Nigeria, I was just reading about a year ago, that they'll give an altar call at this one particular church in Nigeria, and they'll take buses of people down to the front of this outdoor church because there's so many people coming to the Lord. That's crazy. That's just crazy cool stuff that God is doing, right? And this is stuff happening all over the world. In Kenya, just pushing out more and more missionaries all the time. Places like Korea, who is soon to probably to overtake the United States in the numbers of missionaries that they are sending out. I mean, there are just amazing, amazing things happen. You go back into our country, there are believers all around our country. Let's not forget America. There's some amazing things happening in our country. I don't know if anybody has ever read the book, it's dated now, but The Next Evangelicalism. But it talks about how the ethnic church in America is thriving in many ways, and just seeing more and more people added. And I did a little search when I first moved to Atlanta, and I was trying to find a particular denomination, you know, I looked at like the Church of God Cleveland and the Assemblies of God, and I looked at a few different groups, and there were only one or two names I recognized in English, because all of the other denominational churches were ethnic churches. You know, there are like 30 of them, you know? And so God is moving by his spirit. He's moving in Caucasian, mostly Caucasian churches. He's moving in African-American churches. He's moving in Asian-American churches and multi-ethnic churches. God is moving by his spirit, right? And so this is the fulfillment of what we're talking about today. This is really cool. This is really cool. Amen. All right. So I'm pumped, man. This is cool. All right. God, there's joyous songs going out. Stepping back, though, guys, is that there still are songs that are not being sung. There are still songs that are not being sung around our world. And so people, if you can just kind of close your eyes and just envision the world waking up. I do this because it's just who I am as a person. But just envision the world waking up. I said this a couple weeks ago, but there's like, you know, in Nepal, for example, they've got their tin plates and their metal plates and they're clink, 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 waking up for the day. And, you know, in Kenya, and I've had some friends who worked in Kenya, and they've sent videos and stuff, so I kind of can go there in my mind. But there's, you know, I hear the voices of little kids and imagine their cute little uniforms, right, as they rush off to school. You know, there's, you know, places in you know, other parts of Africa where, you know, the world is just waking up. You can smell it even. You can smell the cuisine, right? You can smell the breakfast or the lunch or the dinner, depending on what time of day it is. You can hear some of the women just grinding the grain, right? You can hear those sounds. You can smell those sounds. Our world is waking up. And those are all just normal sounds of the nations. But there are other sounds, guys, that are not normal in that sense. They're not Jesus-focused sounds. In many Buddhist places and Hindu places, there's the ding, 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 ding. There's just the song of there's just these sounds of chanting, of prayers, crying out to gods who do not answer. Crying out to gods who will never respond. Priest after priest after priest visiting homes, offering, hey, would you do this? Would you do this ritual? If you do this ritual, there will be blessing, and blessing never comes. There are sounds like that going out. The loud sound of the mosque. Allah Akbar. All over the world. Those sounds are going out. It is not the song of the redeemed. It is not the song and the cry, the joy of the nations that God longs for. But we, guys, we must realize how blessed we are. Oh God, make your face shine upon me. Bless me. Why? So that the nations would be blessed. So that the nations could worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and they could be gathered with us on that day. Right, and the Lamb of God would receive the reward of his suffering. Man, guys,
I long for more and more and more people. Man, what our little church, if we can just be part of that, and we are, guys, hear me, we are part of that, but that we can be inviting more and more, more money given to mission, more efforts, more compassionate ministry, more evangelism, more everything, baby. We want to see God's nations worship him. And so let's join in that. Let's join in that. Let's keep going. May all the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Yeah, you guide the nations with equity. This is what we're after, that God rules and he reigns. Verse 6. The land yields its harvest. Our God blesses us. Interesting mention of harvest here. Many of the nations around them would have been worshiping, around Israel at this time, would have been worshiping, and still do, gods of fertility. You know, gods of blessing, gods of harvest. So there's a play on words here, because there's a harvest in a literal sense, right? You know, it's farmers better be praying to God that the harvest would come in. That's how we'd survive. But there's also a contrast in terms of spiritual harvest, right? Because we're talking about the nations, and Jesus talks a lot about this, right? That it's harvest time. Right, and calling in the harvest. And so there is this blessing that's going out over the harvest, Lord, that has been yielded. And then again, it comes back to blessing. Lord, bless us. May God bless us still, so that all of the ends of the earth would fear him. May God bless us still, so all of the ends of the earth would fear him. To fear the Lord, to honor the Lord, right? That you alone are worshiped. Not a fear of terror, or that we're afraid of God in that sense, but a fear that he is everything. So several years ago, I was at I've mentioned this before, but Urbana has a really big missions conference. And so there was something like 30,000 students there. And I was, Charity and I were newly married, and, you know, we went to that, and God, we were so young. Yeah. But I'm just thinking about that trip, but, we went there, and there were students from all over the world, mostly from the U.S., but from different, nationalities throughout the U.S., but all over the world, there were people there. And there's a song that Matt Redman was put out at that time. There's a Louder Shout to Come. I don't know if you know the song, but there's a louder shout to come. There's a greater song to hear. And I remember we were like singing that song. All the nations with one voice, harmony of many tongues, bowing down before your throne. And it just goes on. There's a louder shout to come. I'm like, there's a louder shout to come? Like, we were like losing our minds in this like crowd of like 30,000 people. Right? I mean, people were dancing and screaming out. I mean, I talk about hands in the pile, 30,000 hands in the pile saying, yes, Lord, we will go with you. I mean, it was an amazing, amazing experience. But there is a louder shout to come, guys. There is a louder shout to come when all the peoples with one voice, harmony in many tongues, will be crying out that the joy of the Lord is here. Man, I'm long. That's what we're looking forward to. That's what we're looking forward to. Praise and glory, wisdom and strength and power be to our God forever and ever. Amen. So guys, this is not just a theoretical, you know, like zooming out, we're going to look at the world in general, but it requires specificity. I can't say that word very well. It requires specific action, right? It requires specific kind of worship. Like the Lord asks for specific kinds of worship, right? John Piper, I don't know if you're a fan or not, but he has a quote that he said many years ago that says, missions is not the goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't. It's a powerful, it's from his book, Let the Nations Be Glad. And so that's what we're that's what we're longing for is worship, right? And so we have a newly formed mission team. We haven't really done much yet other than like trade a couple emails. But we are going to be meeting as a church to talk about what's next for us, right? How can Psalm 67 be more and more fulfilled in our midst, right? That's what we're going to be looking at. We'll be looking at different partnerships in the vineyard of churches and other places. We'll be looking at local efforts and international efforts. And so I encourage you to hound Dawn Roberson, because she's our new leader of that. And she may have to say, I don't know, and we don't know, but we're not going to stay in that place, right? We're going to see the gathering of the nations as much as we possibly can in different ways. So I encourage you to get involved that way. I'd like to do something a little bit different. Perhaps it shouldn't be so different, but if there's anyone here, I'm not sure exactly who's here, and I don't know everybody super, super well, but if I've just been talking and you're like, man, that's interesting, but I actually don't know if I know what you're talking about. I actually don't know if I know Jesus, if he has saved me. And I'm just going to invite you to raise your hand. I'm not going to see it, but if that's you and you're like, you know, I don't know, and I want to know. I want to know this Jesus. I want to be able to join in that song. If that's you, I'd just invite you to raise your hand, and then after you do that, I'm going to pray with you all just together here, and then I'm going to pray for the rest of us as well. All of us will join in. Lord, I pray for anyone who raised their hand or anyone listening online. Lord, we say, Lord, I know that I don't know you, and I've been walking in the other direction. I've been living a life that the Bible calls a sinful life. Lord, I ask that you would forgive me of my sin. Lord, I ask that you would renew a relationship with you, or start for a relationship with you for the first time. God, forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Lord, I say to myself right now that you are the Lord. You are the king of my life. You're the king of my life. Lord, may I be one of the ones of the multitude that can stand with you and say, salvation is mine. Lord, I ask you to do that in Christ's name. Lord, for the rest of us here as we close out, Lord, I just pray that that reality would become so real. If it has gone and become kind of stale, if our salvation and that song has become old news, Lord, would you renew it? Lord, that you could be and you would be the joy of our salvation. Oh God, renew, renew, oh God, renew, oh God. Lord, and I also pray for each of us as we consider next steps for us personally, as we consider next steps of the church. Give us wisdom from on high, Lord, that this would not just be a message that we amen. God, that this would be a message that we participate in day in and day out and day in and day out. That our little church would be a church that sees just prophetically a calling of the nations. Lord, you did it with 12. You can do it with 25. Oh, God. Oh, God. Bless us, oh, Lord. Make your face shine upon us. Lord, so that earth would know your ways. Oh, Lord, that the nations would know your salvation. May the peoples praise you, oh God. May all the peoples praise you. That is our prayer today. We pray that in Christ's name. Amen.